Unfortunately, the car creeping relentlessly up behind them was clearly in far better shape. There was no doubt how this chase was going to end.
"Maybe we just give him back the damn necklace."
Justin's voice was sharp as he spat the words out without warning.
"I mean, what the hell do we need with something like that anyway?"
Marcus was nodding, ready to agree, but his mouth clenched shut, and he found himself unable to respond. The knot in his stomach and the burning in his throat moved nearer to each other, settling with a sharp pain over his heart. He wasn't going to let the necklace go.
"Mark, how about it, man? We slow down, you toss it out the window, we move on."
There was a tightness in Justin's voice that Marcus had never heard before. His friend, usually the coolest head in any situation, was close to losing it. There was something foreign in the air that made no sense. When they were younger, the two of them had been in far more than their fair share of brawls. Sure, they were a little old to be getting into fights on the side of the road at this point in their lives, especially against strange fat men. But the panic in his chest and the fear in his friend's voice belied the confidence both of them should have felt. Marcus turned, straining against the tight belt, and his lips pursed at the gleaming headlights bearing down on them. Swiveling back, he thought for a moment, and then looked at his friend, putting every ounce of conviction into his voice.
"How much gas do you have?"
Justin jerked his head over to stare in disbelief at him, then whipped it back to watch the road.
"What the hell are you talking about?"
Marcus shrugged, momentum and sense memory pushing him on.
"Keep on driving, keep him behind us. The Mass border can't be too much farther. Granville's what, half an hour max on the other side? Hell, we drive him straight to the police station if he wants to follow us that far."
Justin glanced sideways again, brows drawn low over his glittering black eyes.
"Are you insane? We just give him the damned necklace and hope he doesn't tase one of us again, and I say we got off light."
He turned back to the road.
"The last thing I want to be doing when we hit that old bridge is drag racing with some crazy cracker with a jewelry fetish."
Marcus shook his head. Everything Justin was saying made sense, but something within him, tangled up with the hot, painful tightness over his chest, refused to consider giving up the gems. Justin began to slow down, rolling down his window and gesturing for the car, now riding their bumper, to pass them.
"Give it to me. I'll toss it at him and we'll be out of here."
Marcus shrank back against his own door, his head shaking of its own accord. Beyond Justin, he could see the hood of the chasing car pulling up even with them, the sleek lines of a brand new Prius gleaming from a fresh wash. The passenger compartment of the other car swelled in the side window, its own window a dark, gaping hole. It was him, of course. That feeling in the air thickened again, and Marcus knew it could not have been anyone else. Even in the dim interior of the other car, there was no mistaking the crazed fat man, rolls of pale flesh piling up over his collar and pushing at his tie. The man was glistening with sweat, and his eyes seemed strange, as if they were all pupil. He was screaming something they couldn't hear over the howling of the engines and the roaring of the wind as Justin reined the Camry in even more. He was keeping one desperate eye on the road and the other on the Prius, his hand thrust at Marcus, fingers clawing.
"Give me the damned thing!"
Marcus shrank even further against his door, his hands falling to grasp the necklace. He was trying to marshal another argument when, past his friend, he saw the crazy fat man pull something off his own passenger seat and point it at Justin's head.
"Stop!"
He screamed the word, punching Justin as hard as he could in the shoulder. Between the warning and the sudden blow, Justin slammed on the brakes in confusion. Both of them were thrown against their seatbelts, faces precariously close to the windshield, when a gleaming ball of blue lightning flashed over their hood and slapped into the trees by the side of the road. Marcus nearly wrenched his neck trying to stare at the impact point as they rushed past. By the sound and feel of the car, Justin had ground his fancy dress shoe back onto the gas pedal with terrible force. They were leaping ahead again. Behind them, a flickering orange light in the woods sent a cold, crawling sensation over Marcus's scalp and down his spine. Their erratic maneuvers had sent the other car swerving back into their wake, but now the man had his arm hanging out the driver's side window, and ball after ball of crackling lightning rushed past them. The energy disappeared into glowing tatters a couple car lengths ahead of them, and Marcus figured that this strange, exotic weapon must have a very short range. One of the snapping, spitting orbs caught the rear quarter panel on Marcus's side, and the entire car rang like a rusty old bell.